Good morning, everyone. Troy was up here a while ago. I was thinking about one thing. Him and my son need to get together. He's got the left leg. My son's got the right leg broken. They could work together. I guess. And also thought about at their age, they don't heal like when I broke mine playing baseball in high school some 65 years ago. It only took 6 weeks to heal it. But at 83, I'd hate to break one now. It'd probably take me a year to heal it. It didn't take long then, but it makes a difference when you're younger. You heal a lot quicker when you're younger than you do when you get older. I was just thinking about things like that, how good Lord blessed us when we're younger to get things like that done. A lot better off when you're younger to have them broken than you do when you get older. And I'm glad to see Miles has got his family with him. It's neat when you get together. It's hard when you're apart. Makes life a lot harder. Because when I was 20 years old and I was about 5,000-6,000 miles from home in a foreign land, you think about it. Now you get older, you think about how nice it is to have your family with you. When you're that far apart, you don't have anybody with you. So it makes you think about that, appreciate it, what these young people got now that they've got together to be able to live together. Because when you're that far apart, you don't think about a lot of that age, but it does make a difference. When you get older, you think about it. So I'm glad they're together. They can be together here closer than they were. What I'd like to talk about this morning, I got a lot of scriptures. I can't use them all because we'll run away over time if I do. So I'll give you scriptures, and if you want to read them, you'll have to do them on your own. This thought came off of Wade's lessons last week. Unity with the will of God. Are we unified with the will of God and what we do in life? Stop and think about that. What is God's will for my life? You ask yourself that. Don't ask me. Ask yourself that. What is God's will for your life? There's not a Christian that not sometime in life hasn't asked that. Sometimes when you hit combat and the bullets are flying, you wonder, why on earth am I here? What's God done to me to put me in this place? But then when you get home and get older, you come back and you think about, God put me there to make this, keep this country safe so we can live free in this country. Still under suppression like the ones we were trying to save then. Were. So you appreciate that later when you get older. So I said, sometimes God's ideas seem hard for us to understand. But maybe the idea is that we're expecting God to reveal something special to us, which He won't do. While we ignore the revelation that He's given us in His written word. He's revealed it to us in His Word. We don't have thoughts given to us like the apostles did, like the prophets did back in the old times. No, we have the written Word. They didn't have that. The Bible has dozens of clear commands for us to follow. We're here worshiping God today. That's one of them. This book tells us to love your neighbors. It also tells you to love something. It's one of the hardest things for mankind to do is love your enemies. We learn in the military you love the person, not the deeds you're doing. Because a lot of them were like we were. They were doing what they were commanded to do. But you love the person, not the deeds. We're told not to lie, not to covet some other man's property. Be generous with what we do with God's Word and with our life to help people. We need to study God's Word regularly. So much of the world has a problem that I pray in the church we don't have to let money control their life. Instead of let God's word control, they let money control while they do and what they live in. We need to let the Holy Spirit control our lives. Talk to God every day. You're probably tired of hearing me say this, but when after I come back from the military, I spent 40 years looking through the windshield semi. You can drive down the road and talk to God a lot. He's going to listen. He listens to no matter where you're at, you can talk to him. You don't have to be in a closet. You can be on top of a mountain. You can be any place in the world. He's always there to listen. It's us that doesn't talk to him, not him. This will go on and on. God's interested in the details of our life. But real will is that we spend time thinking about what's important, His Word, in our life. Does God have a plan for my life? Well, so a lot of this lesson is going to come out of the Old Testament. Even if the Israelite nation and how God dealt with them, God still had a plan for them. Through everything that happened, there was a plan. Psalms 139:3. You chart the paths ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. Now these are going to be paraphrased. It's not going to be actual what's written in the scripture. Some of them are. I've just set notes off of them. God cares about what we do. He cares about the details of our lives. Because they are a barometer of the condition of our heart towards Him. And we get, stop me asking you on South Quay, am I unified with the will of God in my life and what I do? Ask yourself that question. Don't ask me. That's for you to discuss with Him, not me. Psalms 138:8 will tell you that the Lord will work out His plans for your life. If we let Him. If we let Him. Big question. Esther and Mordecai, back in the story of them, and Esther went before the king when she could have died because she wasn't supposed to. She elevated a place to talk to him. God used her to talk to the king. You ever stop to think that when you meet some poor beggar or somebody in a parking lot or something, that God might have put you in that place to talk to that person to help them out? So many times people ignore them and walk off the other way. I don't think that's what God meant for us to do with our life, with we're unified with Him. You ask yourself that question. Don't ask me. I'm just giving you stuff to think about. Jeremiah 29:11. This is something that each of us needs to. I know I need to read this more than I do and study it. For I know I have... For the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, they are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God's plans for us are always good. Unknown plans for man can be frightening. But when plans belong to God, they will help us in everything we do. God has a plan for our life. If we let Him direct it. To be unified with Him. What are some things that we could do to discover God's will for your own life. Well, David wrote in his Proverbs 2, verses 3 through 8, I'm not going to read, I like to read this, but I don't have time, so I'm going to just paraphrase it. We need to cry out for insight and understanding. Search for them as you would for lost money or hidden treasures. Then you understand what it means to fear the Lord. Search God's Word. Because He has a plan for each of us if we let Him guide us. Actively look for God's will to guide your life. He will guide us if we let Him. Too many times, me included, we try to do it on our own instead of letting God be the one to guide us. That's when we get in trouble. Isaiah, the 2nd chapter, verse 3. I like this. It says, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel. There He will teach us His ways so that we may obey them. That's why we gather 3 times a week to study His Word, so He can teach us His ways, so He can guide us. Going here is like going up top the mountain. We go here to study His Word, to let Him guide us, to unify us with His will. Hosea 6 and 3. Though we might know the Lord, press on to know Him. Study more of His Word so He can respond to us. I have talked to people who said, well, the Lord doesn't stop and help me. He doesn't do anything for me. I asked one person one time, and he said, the Lord doesn't do a thing for me. He don't do nothing. I said, did you ever stop and talk to Him and pray to Him? Well, no. Well, why do you expect Him to talk back to you and help you if you don't talk to Him? He's always there every day. 24 hours a day, He's there to talk to somebody. I don't care if it's the middle of the night. You wake up and want to talk to Him, He's there. But He won't answer if you don't talk to Him. He won't unify with Him if you don't talk to Him. If we give ourselves completely to His will, seek God passionately, not casually, He's there to help us. James 1 and 5 gives you the impression that if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him and He will tell you. They used to have bosses that had a problem or something, and you go ask them, they get upset. Don't ask me, I don't know. Didn't want you asking them. God's not that way. He don't care how many times you ask Him. He don't care when. He doesn't get offended when you ask Him. I always say that's my crutch in life. It's been my crutch in life, something to lean on. Proverbs 2 and 6, for the Lord grants wisdom. He grants us wisdom, knowledge to help us. 1 John 5:14. We can be confident that He will listen to us whenever we ask Him for anything, as long as it's in line with His will. Now, if you go asking for something that's not good for you, you may not get it. He may not help you with it. that's in line with His will, something that is good for you, He will help you. That's being unified with His will. But you have to talk to Him. That's what most people in this world fail to do. They say, God doesn't help me do anything. Well, you ask them if they talk to Him. Well, no. I think they answered their own question right there. He's not going to help if you don't talk to Him. Acts 21:14, there's a thought here that some people say, well, He don't listen to me when I talk to Him. Well, I heard this one person make a prayer one time, but he said, God doesn't listen when I talk to Him. I said, you didn't make a prayer. You made a statement. You told Him what you wanted done. You didn't ask Him. You told Him what you wanted done. That doesn't work that way. You ask Him and He does it. It helps you with what He wants done for you. Because a lot of times what we want done is not the best thing in life. So people give up on God. When that happens, they give up on God. Well, He don't help me. I'll just give up on Him and go my way. They went in there with the wrong attitude to start with. Something that all of us have trouble doing, and I, me too, included in all this. Best way to know God is to let go and let Him guide you. Just do completely let Him guide you. We have that personality that we want to do it on our own. I can do it on my own. Well, it doesn't work that way sometimes, quite often. We may learn more about His will in life if we just talk to Him and let it go and let Him guide you what to do with it, rather than do it on our own. But, and also, we do not have to know everything to do God's will. Some people think, well, I need to know everything. No, we don't. I've studied this Bible for years, and I'll tell you, the more I study it, the more I realize I don't know anything about it. There's so much more in it that I haven't picked up before that you haven't realized. But every time I read it, I read something that I didn't miss before. I don't know how many times I read it. I didn't see that was in there, but it's there. God's will. Revelation 10:4. How would you like to be trying to preach to the world and hear this voice come down to heaven talking to you? Talk about being scared. That would scare you. That would scare me. This voice coming down out of heaven talking to me, telling me what to tell people. Well, but a voice from heaven called unto me, saying, keep secret what the seven thunders, do not write it down. We aren't told everything. God doesn't want us to know, because we're not capable of handling it. And besides that, if we knew everything, we'd be as smart as God is. And He created all this universe, everything on it. I don't want to be that smart. I have enough headaches without being that smart to worry about everything that's on it. That's why I said you can talk to God 24 hours a day, any time of day or night. He's never asleep. Stop and think about that. We stop and get sleep every night. But He's there for us no matter when we need to lean upon Him. To me, that is the greatest benefit to this world we can ever have. God has not revealed everything to us, but He's revealed everything we need to know for salvation. Stop and think about that. He's given us everything we need to know. It's in this book to study, to find it. But the things we don't know, He hasn't told us, because we don't need to know. We speculate in class a lot of times about what's meant in some things because we aren't given every detail. We don't really need to know. If God felt we need to know, He'd have told us. Be unified with Him, we need to do what He wants. Psalms 32 and 8. The Lord says, I will guide you along the pathways of your life. I will advise you and will watch over you. But you have to talk to Him, or He's not going to do it. We can trust God to help us follow the path that's most pleasing to Him. Even if we're not sure what will happen in the future. Stop and think about one thing in the book of James 4:17. Remember that it's sin to know what you ought to do and not do it. That's God talking, not me. When you're faced with an unknown situation, keep doing what you know to do. Loving others, worshiping God. Cultivating the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. One of the biggest things we have to do that we fail is trust God to show us the next step we need to take. So many times we think we can do it on our own, rather than trust God to guide us. What are some of the things you might say are in God's will for us? Amos 5 and 24 says, we see the mighty river of floods of justice, river of righteous living that will never ever run dry. God's grace, God's care will never run dry. We can have friends on earth here that may tell you they're a friend. Then they'll do something behind your back that will hurt you, not God. He is a friend forever if you become a child of His. God's will that we seek justice and live for Him and do what's right in all of our life. First Corinthians 14:1 says, let love be your highest goal. Love for one another. God's will is that we love each other. Why does He tell us that? Well, what did His Son Christ come here to do? Mark 10 verses 43 through 45, I'm just going to hit a portion of it. For even I, Solomon, came here, what? Not to be served, but to serve others. God's will that we serve others, putting Him above ourselves. That's what Christ did. He put us above Himself when He died upon that cross. The most cruel death you can ever man devise in history. Galatians 5 and 22 through 26. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce the kind of fruits in us, God's will, that we live under the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Back to Proverbs. Proverbs 16 and 3. Commit your work to the Lord, and then what? Your plans will succeed. God's will that we do everything for Him, it will all succeed. Other references in Mark and John cover a lot of the same subject here. Promise from God, rewards of His seeking his will first are back in Proverbs. God has a wonderful plan for your life. All things according to will happen according to God's will in due time. And I'd like to close with a thought of when you talk to God, don't tell him what's going to happen, ask him. Because in John, the 1 John 5 and 14, God hears all prayers that are in line with his will. You ask, you don't tell. If you want to be united with him, that is what God wants you to do. But if you're not a child of his, you can't be united with him. You're not a baptized Christian. You cannot be united with Christ, with God. The only way you can be united with him is through baptism, become his child. We all look at our children we've raised up, if they were little and young and innocent, didn't know a lot when they first come around until he started teaching me. You know, God's the same way with us. He teaches us every day. We're children to him. Still our children. Some of us have been around here for between 80 and 90 years. We're still to him a child. So if you want to be part of that will of his, him to guide you, be united with him, you have to be baptized and become a part of his family. Think about that this day. Because people keep telling me what they're going to do on tomorrow or next week. If you've ever been in the military, you realize in 5 seconds you might not be alive. Tomorrow may not make it. You may not be here tomorrow. So as you think about that today, if you want to be united with him, with his will, come forward to be baptized for remission of sins. As we stand to sing a song, Brother Joseph.